your voice. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of the liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others and sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sake, he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now, finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance may also become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent them with them our brother, who we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about in you. Amen. Okay. Originally, I thought about talking about tithing. But if you look at this passage, it doesn't talk about tithing at all. In fact, the New Testament speaks very scantly about tithing, if you were actually to read about it. Apart from Matthew 23:23, where Jesus actually addresses tithing, there isn't this command to say, you must tithe. And unfortunately, this gets used as justification for people to say, well, you know, since the New Testament doesn't teach about tithing, I don't need to really tithe. And I think yes, it's true. Not the fact that you don't have to tithe, but the fact that the New Testament doesn't really explicitly command tithing. But that's just used as more of an excuse, as a smokescreen. Because Jesus, the way Jesus talks about in Matthew 23:23, and to some extent in Matthew chapter 6, when he talks about when you give, he talks about it as an assumption. It's like, when you eat, when you do this, it's like, well, I don't need to command you to eat. You naturally already eat. And so it's implicit. And so if you need explicit instructions in order to do something, then it's a little rudimentary. You guys know what I'm saying. The Bible doesn't, or the New Testament doesn't explicitly command it, but it talks more about, as opposed to the act itself, but it talks more about the heart that is behind the act. And so you see so much of the New Testament about not just tithing, but offering up of ourselves, of our generosity. In Romans 12:1, it says, offer up your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. offering up yourself. And tithing is a representation of that, offering up yourself and your pride and your need to control and to have everything for yourself, because ultimately everything belongs to God. And so really at the heart of whenever we address tithing, we really need to address this idea of generosity, because that is the heart of the issue. And especially in this passage, that is what Paul is addressing. And underpinning this is in verse 9, where he goes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So this is the idea of generosity, where you have the ability, you have this status with you, but you give it up so that others could benefit as well. And we see this in verse 13 to 15, where he goes, or verse 14, "At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need." So it's this sharing of things. So there are two things that I think we can pull out from this passage specific to generosity. And the first is, I don't really have a good title for my first point, but generosity is a skill that you have. It is something that you develop, as well as a spiritual gift. Going back to what P. Sam preached about 2 weeks ago, about how we have natural abilities, how we have acquired skills and spiritual gifts. Generosity fits right into these kind of three categories. You have this natural ability to give. Some people are just naturally generous. And this is what the Corinthians, but Paul is giving the example of the Macedonians, how they had this natural ability to give. In verse 3, "For I testify that according to their ability, they were generous despite, you know, their afflictions, their lack of resources, their poverty. Yet at the same time, they were also able to go beyond their natural ability because of the grace of God that had been given to them." And this is in verse 1. "We wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." So you have two out of the three. You have this natural ability to give, as well as a spiritual gift. I don't know whether it was a one-time thing or they consistently had the spiritual gift. I would tend to think that they consistently demonstrated the spiritual gift. That's just my feeling. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter, because God had given them the grace to give this gift. And so I was thinking, well, does that mean that we don't need to practice generosity? Of course not. But I feel like at times we do kind of get into that mode of, well, I'm not naturally gifted, or like I haven't been given the gift of generosity, and I have all these other things to worry about, and so it's difficult for me to practice. I'm like, yeah, it is difficult for us to practice generosity, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't. And this is what Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to do. Practice this generosity, because you have a desire to do it. You originally set out a year ago to take up a collection, because what was happening was they were actually taking up all the churches outside of Judea were taking up a collection, a special offering for all the Christians in Judea, because they were going through famine and they were going through persecution. And so they were taking up all these funds, or they had originally set out to collect this offering to send to the brethren in Judea, and they kind of let it pass by. And now Paul was encouraging them to practice, to develop, to feel what it's like to be generous. Even though it hurts you, this gift goes towards something. This gift is not just to make you poor. It's not just so that others can have an easier time, as he talks about later. There really is no excuse to not want to give. I mean, like I said, I feel like this is a natural disposition for many of us, because at the we are very self-centered creatures, right? Because of our sinful nature, especially when it comes to money, right? That's why Paul warns us against not money, but having the love of money, because it's so controlling. It is such a deceptive thing at times. And so that's why it's hard for us to practice this gift. But, you know, we really need to practice it. We really need to develop it. Step into the opportunities that God gives us to give. Like when we go, when people are going on missions, you know, to give. And it's not just to kind of sit back and wait for opportunities to come to us, but to really explore opportunities where we can be a blessing, where we can use our resources. I mean, that's what Paul was saying. Like, you guys started this. You guys had the heart to start this whole endeavor, and now you kind of given up, or you've let it go by the wayside, and now I'm encouraging you. I'm reminding you of the desire that you guys once had, and I encourage you to continue giving in this manner. Continue practicing it. Step into this gift or this natural ability or lack thereof that you have or don't have. It shouldn't really matter as much. And so for us, especially for this point, you know, it's fairly easy to understand my point. Like, where are the opportunities in our life to give? Now, how can I seek out more avenues of giving? And it doesn't mean that, I'm not saying that God is calling you to give away all your wealth, all your resources, empty your bank account. Like, he might, I don't know, right? That's between you and God. What is God saying to you? But at the same time, don't be so passive in just, okay, well, I'm just going to tithe my however much percent, it should be 10 at least, and I'm just going to give, you know, to this missionary support, and that's it. You know, it's called generosity. It's not called a payment schedule that you follow every month. Okay. And my second point is this idea that generosity does not question, or there are no, generosity does not come with a lot of conditions, or shouldn't come with conditions. It's unfortunate that in this day and age, there are so many organizations and people that are less than savory, so to speak. And so when they ask for donations, we really have to kind of question their motives because we're just not sure about them. And so we are very hesitant with our giving, or there are conditions tied to our giving that you must use these funds for da-da-da-da-da-da. Or we ask questions. Are they deserving of our funds? Because we question their integrity. How are they going to be used? You know, are we supporting something? Are we giving funds to this person, but ultimately they're going to be using these funds that we don't support for things that we don't support? Like, one of the greatest, or one of the reasons why I never gave money to people begging on the street growing up was because my parents would say that they're using this money to buy drugs. And so I was always taught to go and talk to that person, or buy a sandwich and give them the sandwich instead, or buy a food and give them the food instead, which is good, but that's a huge assumption on our part, right? We don't know. And so now I make it an effort to, you know, whenever you see people on the street, especially those, I talked about this before, but especially those people, foreign-looking people that are on the street in Hong Kong that have a board and said, please support my travels. I'm like, how did you get here in the first place? That annoys me to no end. But I was convicted to actually, instead of judging them, to actually go up and talk to them. Say, hey, what's your story? Why are you here? And try to, in some way, in my pastor way, kind of slip in the fact that, dude, you should have enough money to go home before you come. At the core of it, though, I don't think God wants our giving to be with conditions. Just like his grace isn't conditioned to what we are able to do, right? Because the grace that we receive isn't received with works, right? It's received with faith. We should have discernment with our generosity. We should pray and see where God is leading us. But when we are being led to give, or when we have that desire to give, it really should be free of conditions, right? Not just for ourselves, but for the other person. Because what if you receive something, it's like, oh, but I gotta, you know, have this expectation. Like Chinese people when they give at weddings, or older generation. Like at my wedding, people gave, and we recorded how much people gave. And then a few years later, my mom was like, hey, how much does so-and-so give? Because I have to go to their wedding. I'm like, what does it matter? Just be generous. She's like, no, it doesn't have to, it can't be like that. I'm like, and we got into this huge long discussion. And I did not treat that discussion with love. So I had to repent. Anyways, we should not have conditions with our generosity. And I mean, the question that I had to ask myself in this is that if we are being generous and we happen to give to the wrong person or the wrong cause, does it really matter? You say, yeah, because they're using the money wrong. Like, okay, however this person decides to use the money, because we're talking about our heart, this is generosity, it's ourselves, right? Does it really matter if, like, why? The question is, why are we fearful that the money will be used wrong? Because now that we've wasted our own resources? I mean, there is the element, like, we want to be good stewards of our money, right? We need to have discernment. But are we afraid that, oh man, I could have spent this money on something else? I could have used this X amount of dollars for this other project. Or I could have gone on vacation or whatever it is. But I feel like there is this fear that if we give to the wrong cause, that we attach conditions to our giving, because what if the funds aren't used as how I would want to use them? I think there's an element of that in our giving. And then we lose out of fun. We lose out on our funds and we're like, man, you know, but when we start thinking like that, maybe we weren't so generous in the first place. Maybe we just wanted to feel good about ourselves. That, yeah, I gave. There is that, but generosity sometimes doesn't give you that immediate like hit of endorphins, like I did something good today. Generosity sometimes can hurt. I think that's why Paul quotes Exodus 16:18, and this is in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians. This is Exodus 16:18. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And it's this idea that God will provide exactly what you need. And so there's no need to hoard. There's no need to really have this consideration of where every single penny is going and whether it's going to a good cause and to hold on to our funds so tightly. And for myself, I struggle with this. I have this, my tendency is towards avarice. It's a fancy term. But basically what it means is extremely strong wish to keep material possessions. It's a little, in my mind, it's a little different from greed. Greed is this idea where you want to gain all your material possessions. Avarice is kind of the flip side, where you have what you have, and you want to hold on to it because it's a very limited resource. So, like, if I spend time with people, I can't spend too much time with people because I only have a limited amount of energy. Or if I have, you know, $1 million in my bank account, I really need to account for every single penny and make sure that it's spent well because I only have $1 million to spend. But that is not the way that God works, right? Because if I were to think that way, I remove the possibility that God can replenish the bank account, my energy reserves. And so what Paul is saying in this verse, or what Paul is quoting from Exodus, is that God will give you enough, right? You don't need to have a big bank account, or if you have a small bank account, it doesn't matter. It's enough proportional to what your need is. You don't need to hoard, right? If you have a job that pays you $20,000 a month, it could be good enough for you. If you have a job that pays you $160,000 a month, it could be enough for you. I mean, each individual situation. And so I take this verse as a great opportunity to learn that I don't need to hoard. I don't need to hold back and to have conditions like, well, I have to make sure this money's going well or this money's being well spent. or else I could have used it for myself. Like, that's my fear, right? And so as we worship today, now let this be a point of reflection for us in terms of our generosity. Let us examine our hearts and, one, where are the opportunities that God is giving you to, you know, practice generosity? Doesn't have to be big. Could be. And two, if it's difficult to practice generosity, you know, really let Holy Spirit speak to you as to what the core of that unwillingness to let go or the difficulty to let go is. Like I share, for me, is because I don't feel like God can replenish what I'm giving, that eventually I'll just run out of money and have to resort to eating pet food. That's a different story, you can ask me. But yeah, just let Holy Spirit speak to you and let Him examine you and speak to you in this way. So let's pray.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me now to love, to speak, to heal, to preach. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me now, giving life. You turn ashes to beauty, morning to dancing, anguish to songs of praise. Pour your Spirit over me, let your feet of mine and lead me. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me now to go, to free, to give, to feed. The Spirit of the Sovereign to dance.
Lord, we thank you for your generosity, God, that you displayed on the cross. How you gave up your life, God. You gave up your richness, God, your status, Lord, everything that you had and became poor. So that we could have life, God. So that we could live and we could enjoy life and we can be free, Lord. We can be free from sin and from bondage and from the enemy, Lord. And so, God, may we remind us of that fact, Lord. Remind us of what you have done, Lord, your great love for us. And may we use it to encourage ourselves, Lord, to act in the same way, to be generous, Father. Generous with our resources, generous with our time, God. And Lord, we thank you. We love you. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries to deal with this. Let's also lift up those who are sick and yet have to receive Jesus into their hearts. Let's pray for open hearts and for God to have mercy on them, for them to see the truth. Let's also pray for God's healing over those in our community suffering from non-cancer related sicknesses and infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and discernment for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in the city amongst all the Christians. Pray for all the churches and all the ministries that were involved in Support Service International. Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, all the students that have started school again. Let's pray for peace on the campuses. Amidst the boycott and such a charged political situation. Let's also pray for all our domestic helpers as well as families in distress. You could pray for the staff. I just pray that it will work well and really follow God in all the ministries that we lead. Pray for PSAM. He's been away this past weekend at the SP New York retreat, so pray for a safe return back to Hong Kong. Pray for the hospitality ministry, the welcoming, the baristas. Just pray that people really feel welcome by these two ministries and that God anoints these ministries to work well. Let's lift up the worship team, sound, and AV team. Let's pray that God will give them an extra measure of grace in what they do, whether it's leading worship or doing the PowerPoint. Let's pray for God's hand and anointing to be upon them. And let's lift up our house churches. The first week of house church, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, OPR, and Soho. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship and that they'll be able to go deeper into relationship and just deeper in the relationship with God and one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Again, we thank you for your generosity. And Lord, we pray, God, that we can be such good examples of generosity, Lord, that in our lives, that our friends, our colleagues, our family members will see us and say of us that we are generous people. And Lord, through that, may we be able to show your glory, show who you are, and show what you've done in our lives, God, how you have been generous, how you have blessed us, God. And so we do the same, Lord. May we use this to draw people to you, God. We thank you. We pray for the city, Father. We pray for your peace, God. We pray for your covering, Lord. Father, yeah, we also pray for repentance, Lord. For not respecting authority figures, God, for acting on our own, God, for abusing power, Lord. We repent of all that, Father. God, as we go off into our jobs, may we be your ambassadors, God. May we plead with people to be reconciled to you, Father. Give us the words to speak and the actions to show who you are, God. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.